I'm just going to move right into what the Lord gave to me this morning. Listen, growing up here in Sierra Vista, Arizona, I am the ultimate wannabe cowboy. And when I say that, I'm not a wannabe. I wanted to be a cowboy. And I think just growing up in this area just had something to do with that, you know. And every Saturday morning, I don't know about y'all, but I watch those Westerns on TV, right? Anybody else watch those? The Lone Ranger, right? My favorite was the Cisco Kid. Hey, Pancho. Hey, was it Cisco? Hey, Cisco, right? I love the Westerns. And it's funny to me that because I was had that picture of the Western lifestyle, and I was so pressed in to that lifestyle, it like started getting to be a part of me. And because of that, I had a picture. I had an ultimate picture of freedom and what freedom looks like. To me, the picture of freedom is the American wild horse. Every movie I've ever seen of wild horses just have this romantic slant to them, correct? Have you ever seen them? Every movie's got the horses, they're just running, you know, in slow motion, you know what I mean? And their hair's flowing on their neck, right? Nostrils flaring, and it just looks so cool, and they got cool music behind them, and I'm like, oh, that's freedom. That's what I wanted to be, a wild horse as a young man. And I think I did a pretty good job of it, too. Was the wild horse. That, to me, was the ultimate picture. They do what they want. They come and go when they want. They are not bridled. They don't have no bits in their mouth. They don't have no latigo. They have no stirrups. They are free. Right? So that was always my picture of freedom. And one of my dreams was to someday be able to move to Great Falls, or move to Montana. That was my dream. And I wanted to raise paint horses. That's always been something I wanted to do. So I'm glad to say that I actually got to do that. I moved to Great Falls, Montana, right south of the High Line there, and north of Helena. And I bought me a 70-acre ranch there and started raising paint horses. And I thought when I moved to Montana that I knew everything there was to know about horses. And I thought, I am a cowboy. I'm living in Montana. I got horses. I got a ranch. I'm like them dudes on the TV. I'm a cowboy. And you think that you are a cowboy. You think that you know everything there is to know about horses and the Western culture until you move to Montana. Them cats up there, they really are the real cowboys up there, right? And they wear really weird, like, round hats. They don't even wear these kind of hats. They wear a lot of handkerchiefs, a lot of silver, and they all walk like this. And frankly, they're all kind of mean. They're all kind of codgety. You know what I mean? They're just those kind of guys. And so it was one of the most humbling experiences of my life to move to Montana, because everything I thought I knew, I found out, like my dad would say, Johnny, I could write a whole encyclopedia set on what you don't know. All right. And it was so humbling. I just was so embarrassed. I wouldn't even wear my hat around them. I'm like, I'm just going to wear bicycle shorts and a helmet for the rest of my life, because I cannot be around these guys. But instead of being embarrassed, what I thought I'd do is let me get around them and learn something, right? So that's what I chose to do, and that's what I did. And one of my first lessons, I'll give you an example of that. One of my first lessons was we went to go buy my first horse, a broodmare. I wanted to get a broodmare to start things going. And I go into the auction there, and the round pen, you know, and the horses come in, and I'm watching the horses and looking at them. They're so beautiful and big and beautiful. And I'm looking how wide they are and how tall they are and how pretty they are. And I look up in the stands at the real Cowboys, and not one of those guys are looking at the horses. They're all looking down at a book. I'm like, give me one of those books. And I started to look in that book, and I realized what they were looking at. They weren't looking at the outside appearance. What's in the book was the bloodline. The value of the horse had nothing whatsoever to do with what it looked like, or what it walked like, or what it acted like. The value of the horse had everything to do with what was inside of him. What coursed through his veins. What he was called, appointed, and anointed to do with his life. That's where value comes from. So, I found me this really cool Doc Bar pony, and I was so excited and get her home, and I got a little bit of ring, but I appreciate you giving me some. That's awesome. I appreciate it. I get this horse home, and I guess just in my naivete, I believed that when you got this horse home, the horse would be what it was called to be. You go to Best Buy and you buy a computer, and you get home, plug it in, it is a computer. But I got this horse home, and here's the thing. It was a doc. I paid a lot of money for this horse. More money than I should have. And I got her home and put her in a round pen, and for the next hour, she just ran around in circles. And I'm like, standing there so frustrated, and in my heart I was saying, don't you know who you are? Ooh. Don't you know what's inside of you to do and to accomplish? Don't you know what courses through your veins? Don't you understand that you're not just some stupid horse that's running around in circles? And then the other part of me is, don't you know what price was paid for you? Nope. Not at all. Not even a little clue, I don't believe. The horse just ran around in circles. Not only around in circles, for the next hour he just ran around in circles intensely, showing me his rear end. Head out of the gate. And I said, Lord, what do I do with this horse? I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, what did I do with you when you were running around in circles showing me your rear end? I said, that's a really good question. What you did is you waited on me to stop running. You waited on me. And then about that time that I stayed there and I waited on that horse to stop running, stop going in circles, doing the same ridiculous thing over and over and over again, all of a sudden the horse became tired of being ridiculous. And the horse kind of stopped, trotted, walked, came to stop, and he turned to me in what is now what we consider a cowboy world is called facing up. And he faced up to me, ears forward, licking his lips with full attention on me. And as that horse was saying, dude, what do you want from me? And I said, I'm glad you asked. Because it don't matter what's inside of you. It don't matter how gifted you are. It don't matter the calling on your life. It doesn't even matter really the price that was paid for you. Until or unless you face up. Because see, I know the plans that I have for you. I know what your end is from your beginning. And it just makes common sense that you would ask me what it is that I want. Because I have the ability to pull it out of you. And that's what God is saying to you this morning. And I think that's just, that little caveat is a lesson that I learned from being in Montana. Here's the next lesson. So I'm there and I'm learning all my horse stuff and learning more and deeper and deeper. And these two old cowboys came to my house one day and said, hey, Johnny, you want to go catch you some wild horses? And at first I'm like, no way, man. Why would we want to go take those wild horses out of their environment And they're free. They've got it made, right? They've got, why would we want to get them out of there and bring them to our house and to our round pens and put bits in their mouths and saddles on their back? And you feel me? But then there was a little boy inside of me who was like, we get to go catch wild horses. So that's what won. That's the guy that won, right? So we get in there and go up to the High Line of Montana. They start bringing helicopters in. They brought two helicopters and flush these wild horses out of the mountains. And I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these wild horses came storming out of the mountains. And it was the most powerful, intense feeling. You could literally feel the ground shaking from their hooves of their power of what they were. And I'm standing there, and they started separating the male and the female. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. Males in one pen, females in another pen. And I'm standing there just with my mouth agape at the awesomeness of what I'm seeing, right? If you ever get a chance to do something like that, it's incredible. And I'm sitting there watching them. And one of them old Cossity cowboys come flying up on his horse. He said, hey man, you just going to stand there and stare at him, or are you going to go catch you one? Aren't you supposed to get two horses today, or are you just going to stand there and just watch them? I'm like, oh, okay. So I get my rope out, and now the boldness came upon me. Boldness to such a degree, as Jesse Duplantis would say. Boldness. And so I want y'all to know everything that I say from this point on, you got to kind of connect with me, okay? And you got to see everything I'm going to say today is from an evangelist heart, a mindset. All right? So I want you to make the connections on your own. You feel me? You understand? Okay. So this is what I did. So I'm like, stand over here. I go get my rope. And I'm like, I am a cowboy, right? And I'm loud, and I'm abrasive, and I'm obnoxious, right? And I come into that round pen, and I'm showing everybody that I know what I'm doing. And I'm walking in, and I'm ridiculous, is what it is. I was being ridiculous. And all the old cowboys are up on the fence, and I'm walking, I'm a cowboy. Here we go. We're in Montana catching wild horses. I'm a cowboy. Right? So I'm walking in, and I got my rope, and I see this young mare. That young mare's running alongside the fence, and I've kind of got her spotted. Oh, she looks good. She looks young. She looks healthy. Right? And I see her running. I'm going to hurt something. And I'm like, getting up, and I see her, and then boom, I got her. Right? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And I turn around, and I'm like, I am a cowboy! And I'm walking around, and I get about right here, and that horse says, I am a wild horse! And that horse flipped me up in the air, threw me on the ground, started rolling me up underneath it, started dragging me all over the arena, started trying to stomp my head, stomp my guts, trying to steal, kill, and destroy me. And my wife just said, stop screaming, because of my throat. And that horse drug me around. The horse tried to kill me. I was rolling. Here comes the hoofprint. I'm rolling. Here comes the. She's biting at me. She's kicking at me. And the horse literally drug me to Utah, I think. And I'm laying. I'm like, somebody kill this horse. And I look up on the fence, and all of the cowboys are laughing at me. Just having a good time. Hey, cowboy. How's it going, cowboy? And I'm like, somebody help me. And I'm literally, I know I'm exaggerating, but I don't really feel that I am that much. I was at death's door. I could not breathe. I'm literally going, ah! Ah! And I'm rolling, I'm just trying to survive. But a really weird thing happened. Everybody say, just let go. Just let go. And I would not let go. It burned through my gloves, burned my hand all across here, burned both hands. And I looked down, and all I had was this. And I would not let go. And all of a sudden, I think that horse must have almost died too, because she finally just came to a halt. And I look up at her, and she's over there. And I started to stand up, and I'm still trying to catch my breath. And I look up, and that old horse is going. And I start walking to it. And I start shaking the dirt off of me. I had dirt in places I did not know you could have dirt. I had dirt. I think I had dirt behind my eyeballs. I didn't even know that was possible. I cried dirt for the next week. Cried dirt. And I'm walking to her slowly. And I get about right here, and I'm thinking in my mind, please don't kick me in the face. And then all of a sudden, when I got this close, I realized in a moment that everything that I thought that I knew about the American wild horse was a lie. It was a lie. And in a moment, I realized, you need me. You need me to be here right now. Here's why. All of a sudden, I could see from a distance, she looked great. She was beautiful. But from a distance, it looked good. But when I got up close to what's really going on, behind the facade, behind the built-up romanticism of what you thought it was going to be, when I got up close to her, I realized, you need a Savior. You need me. Because I looked down, and first of all, her whole body was literally covered in bugs and worms and infestations. Her skin was crawling with just nastiness. You didn't see that from a distance, did you? Didn't think about that. Then, look down, and her hindquarters right here, she had been attacked by a mountain lion. And there's nobody there to help her. So it just, she escaped it, but it didn't heal properly. So it was just nasty, green, red. It was, it smelled so bad. And then I look up, and she's literally skin and bones. Her withers were poking out almost of her skin. Her ribs are showing, just so sad. And then I see that the reason she's skinny is because she, not only had she been attacked by her own kind, I mean by outsiders, by mountain lions, she had been attacked by her own kind. Let that sink in just a minute. From her own people, from her ones that she considered friends and family. There's bite marks and kick marks all over her body. Bruises and bites and bleedings all over her body. And then I noticed that one of the horses had kicked her in the teeth and caved in all of her teeth on the side. So when she ate, literally food would just fall out of her mouth. Her teeth had grown back. All, the only word I could think of it is a Johnny word, is they're just jicked and jaked. It was so sad. Then I looked down at her feet, and her feet were all broken up into the quick. They're long. Her toenails had grown out so long, and one of them was broken up, and she could barely even walk. And I thought, this great American wild horse is not living at all. It's surviving. Day-to-day survival. There's no life in that. There's no life in what she was living. Did you know I went and I did some research after I got this, after this happened. I did some research. Did you know that there was never even something, it was never supposed to be something called the American Wild Horse? There's not even supposed to be something called a wild horse at all. That's not what God created them to be. Stay with me. That's not what they, that's not what's inside of them. There are animals that are called, created by God to be pets. And there are animals that God created to be wild. You should not have a wild bear as a pet. That's not what God called them to be. But horses were created for us. Did you know that what it was in the historical sense of it is the conquistadors, actually, the first truly wild, how they think the wild horses got here, is the conquistadors brought these wild horses into America, and they left them, get this, come on, hear my heart, they left them to themselves. And generation after generation after generation, they became less and less what their original blueprint and purpose was, and they became more and more wild. Whew. I started thinking about that. I said, you know, that sounds very familiar to what Paul talked about. I want to read this to y'all from my mirror Bible. This puts everything. It's a translation of the word. We're not going to use those scriptures. I changed my message this morning. This is a translation. I just like it because it kind of puts it into cowboy terms that I can really understand. I want to read this to you. And this helps you to make the correlation, the connection. This is Paul talking. Yet man only knew him in a philosophical, religious way. Whew. Stop right there. You can't know God in a religious way. You got to know him in a personal way. People are trying to reach God by knowing more than somebody else. That ain't going to happen. It is a heart condition. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Amen? And get this. Yet man only knew him in a philosophical, religious way. From a distance. You can't know God from a distance. You can't know what you're dealing with. And that horse looked great from a distance. And they failed to give him credit as God. And their taking him for granted and lack of gratitude veiled him from them. They became absorbed in useless debates and discussions, which then further darkened their understanding about themselves. Their wise conclusions only proved folly. Their losing sight of God made them lose sight of who they really were. In their calculation, the image and likeness of God became reduced to a corrupted and distorted pattern of themselves. Suddenly, man has more in common with creepy crawlies than with his original blueprint. Sounds like a wild horse to me. It seemed like God, get this, abandoned mankind, left them to themselves, just to be swept along by the lust of their own hearts and to abuse and defile themselves. It seemed like that, but what he's saying there is they removed themselves from their original purpose and blueprint. Get this. And instead of embracing their maker as their true identity, they preferred the deception of a warped identity, religiously then giving their affection, giving it their affection and devotion. Oh, come on, y'all got to hear that right there. Oh, by being confused about their maker, they became confused about themselves. Women became ensnared in passion for one another. Likewise, the men became inflamed with unnatural attraction to men. Their personalities even changed in consequences to their delusion. And since they no longer honored or acknowledged God in their thoughts and in their hearts, they failed to see anything wrong with what they were doing. See, let me just stop right now, some of you are thinking, because some of you are thinking, well, here we go, another preacher talking about gays and lesbians. If that's what you think I'm talking about, you're 100% incorrect. That is not at all what I'm talking about. Catch this. When I went into that wild horses arena, I want you to hear my heart this morning. I'm talking to you, Shiloh. I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking to you. What I'm talking about is that it's a matter of the heart, how we view the world. I'm saying two different things. I want to give you a perspective of how God sees lost, number one. Number two is I want to give you a tool that might help you to go tell somebody about Jesus. This is a tool that I used. I make it red, because it represents to me the blood of Jesus. And it was the tool that I used when I walked into the arena of a wild horse. And I captured his mind and his heart with it. Here's the thing. When I was... the important part is to hear what my heart is saying is, how ridiculous would it be of me to walk into their round pin, into their world, and then to rope their minds and their lives and somehow be appalled at how they acted. How ridiculous would it be to me to capture them and be in their round pin and then be like, "Oh, how dare you act wild." They're wild. Period. They have no understanding of who God is. They have no understanding of how they should be living. They have no understanding of the life that they could be living. They have no understanding of the life that they have lost and what's available to them. But if not for somebody to step in there, as I thought that I finally got that wild horse and I got her in my trailer. And it took me a solid hour of the worst battle you could possibly imagine. And I got her in my trailer And I'm laying up against the side of the trailer, like, ooh, still trying to catch my breath. And that old codgety cowboy rolls up on me and whoop. He goes, "Hey, man, you going to go get your second horse or not?" I went, "Oh, I forgot. I forgot that's what I was there to do, to get to." And if I'd had a breath in me, I would have said, "No." But I couldn't breathe. So I sat there, and in my mind started thinking of a way to get out of this. How can I get out of this? I do not want to go back in there. Oh. And I feel like I it wasn't audible, but you know the voice of God. And I felt like He said to me, "Shake off the dust. Shake off. Stop whining. Stop crying. Stop complaining. Get your breath. Get your second wind. Fill up yourself. Stand up straight. And get yourself back in the round pen." Because if not for you, then who? Church, I know we've been hurt. I know a lot of people have been hurt in this church. I know a lot of people have been hurt by church. I know a lot of people that have been hurt from trying to tell people about Jesus. And you just get tired of it. You get tired of the persecution. You get tired of the rolling of the eyes. You get tired of the sarcasm. Shake it off. Shake it off. Stop whining. Get what you were supposed to get. You come here. This is the house of the Lord. This is the house where word happens. This is the house where training happens. This is the house that I come to get filled up to overflowing so that I can be filled up and go out and minister from an overflow, not from an emptiness. This is where I might come in here a little beat up. I might come in here a little dusty. I might come in here a little out of breath. But this is where I come to get refueled. This is where I come to get back charged up and get myself back out there. So, I could sound real self-righteous about it, but this is honestly the discussion that I had with God. With gritted teeth, I was on my trailer with my head pressed against it. I got my rope and I said, "Okay, God." You ever had one of those discussions? "Okay, God, I'll do it. But this time, I'll do it. But this time, I'm going to go find me the oldest broke down, barely breathing, easiest target." So I walked in my arena. And here's the thing. This time, when I walked in, my attitude and my walk, the way I approached the situation, completely changed. So instead of being loud and obnoxious and ridiculous, I was humble and quiet, but I was present. This time, I'm not walking in shame, not walking in fear, not walking in intrepidation, but a little wiser. So this time I walked in, instead of being flamboyant and loud, I took this rope and I tucked it like this. I started going like this. A little wiser in my approach, right? And all of a sudden I see this old horse broke down horse, sitting up in the corner of the pen, and he had his head down like this. And he looked like he was at death's door. I didn't really know if he was breathing at the time. And I see him in the corner, and I'm like, there's my dude. There he is. I walked in, and I started getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden I could see his ears tilted to me. He was looking that way. His ears tilted, so I knew he knew I was there. And I got about right here, and I started to raise my rope. Shh. I started to raise my rope. And as I raised my rope right here, I don't know if it was just a God thing. I think the Holy Spirit just showed me a lesson in this moment. It was so powerful. As I started to raise my rope, that horse that was looking this way turned to me and lowered his head. And I began to weep because I knew at that moment what was going on. And I walked up and I put my rope around his head. And I said, I was talking to him. Thank goodness none of the real cowboys could hear me. And I placed him, I said, you have no idea the choice that you just made. I know that you don't know who I am. And I know that you don't know what I'm about. But if you'll come home with me, if you'll do nothing but just trust me and come home with me, I'll give you life that you never even dreamed possible. I'll take care of those feet. I'll shod your feet. I'll worm you. I'll give you the medicine that you need. I'll feed you. But more than anything, I'm going to love you like you never thought you could be loved. Just come home with me. And instead of jerking my rope, this is so important, y'all got to hear this. Instead of jerking my rope, I gave him a little slack in my rope so that I could lead him instead of jerk him around. And he saw that line, and I started to walk, and that horse lowered his head and came right with me. And we walked right into my trailer. I want to ask you something. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's kind of the boldness that I want to share with you this morning. Let me ask you this question. What was the difference between the young mare and the old horse? Neither one of them knew that I was what I was there for. Neither one of them understood my plans. Both of them were afraid of me. What's the difference then? Hear this. The young horse, although her life was tattered and torn and ruined, had still not come to the end of herself and still thought that she knew more. But the old horse, of course, I don't know what the horse thought, but this is what I kind of placed on that. This is what I think the old horse was thinking. I don't know you. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know what you're here for, I mean. But all I know is that whatever it is that you've got has got to be better than the life that I'm living. Yeah. 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 The life that you propose to me, the life that you, that is possibly possible to go with you and live, has got to be better than what I'm doing now. I've lived that life. And from a distance, it looked really good. And I'd lie to you if I would say that it wasn't fun for a season. I look down and there's a cut. There's a bruise. There's a bite mark. There's a tear. There's a hurt. There's a pain. And the worst thing about all of it was that my life, little by little by little, took me further and further away from Him. And I found myself what I felt like I was alone, really alone. But the greatest thing about my God is He'll never, the Bible says He'll never leave you or forsake you. And for your whole life, He's been knocking at your door with the rope, the blood of Jesus that He gave. He gave that as a free gift. He gave His Son's innocent blood that all you have to do is lower your head and receive that gift and walk home with Him. Just the way you are. Cuts, bruises, bites, broken, it don't matter. Come just the way you are. Because when He came into my round pen, it was my job and my blessed ability, my greatest joy to love Him and to heal Him up and to fix Him. And then, get this, and then to train Him. And then to move Him forward. Give Him more. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not joking. That horse ended up being one of the best horses I ever had in my whole life. And I ended up, turns out the horse was only, get this. The life of a wild horse, somebody needs to hear this morning. The life expectancy of a wild horse is only a third of what a kept, broke horse is. The very thing that you are afraid of putting a bit in your mouth, the very thing of putting a saddle on your back, the very thing that you're afraid of is training and teaching, and the thing that's kept you out of church, the very thing that you're most afraid of is the very thing that is going to give you life. Extended life. The thing you've been running from is the thing that will bring you peace, joy, and righteousness in Him. So that horse ended up only being like 12 years old. The life of expectancy of a wild horse is 7 to 10 years old. That's it. A kept horse can live to 20, Kimi's horse lived to 20 years, right? Some of them live to 30 years. It's not a pretty sight, but they can do it. I feel like I'm speaking to somebody here this morning, and I'm not going to play soft music and do all that kind of stuff. I feel like just cowboy up. It's time. You just happen to walk into this place on a Sunday morning where some cowboy just happened to be here to tell you the truth. And today's your day to stop running. Stop running wild. God's got a plan for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And love you and give you peace and give you life. Abundant life. And what I want to do without any, I'm not going to have anybody close your eyes. I want you, something on the inside of you, to stand up right now and say, that's what I want. I want that life. If you're in this room this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then I want you to be bold and to raise your hand right now and let me pray for you. If you're in this room and you want to accept Jesus, there's that hand right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's another one right there. I pray boldness on you right now. Is anybody else? Just waiting. He waits. I feel like there's someone else. Be bold. I'm not even going to bring you forward. I'm just going to pray for you. Here, I want to say this to you. A prayer does not save you. A prayer won't save you. A decision saves you. A heart condition. There's another one. That's the one. Okay, here's what I want to do. Those three that stood up, those three to raise your hands. I'm going to say this prayer. But before I say this prayer, I want to speak to one more group that's here this morning. And those are those of you who are saved. And you love God with all of your might, all of your heart. But you have found yourself moved little by little by little. And you find yourself a little wounded, a little hurt, and a little separated from God. And more importantly, you find yourself kind of running in circles and just running a little wild. I don't speak condemnation over you at all. I speak love and peace over you right now in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know that you are not too far gone from God. And it is not too late for you to just turn and face up. And say, God, I'm done running. I want to serve you with all of my life. And I want to live for you. And I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want that passion back. I want that relationship back that I feel like I've lost somehow. I want that tenderness back that I used to have. I want to have that hearing ear for the still small quiet voice. I'm ready to receive that again. I want you to raise your hand right now in boldness. Hands all over. Hands all over this room. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Here's what I'd like. I'd like for everybody to stand up. Ryan, can you come play? See, it's not the prayer necessarily that I'm going to pray. It's the heart condition. This is what I told my sister. My sister was going through some rough times. Whew, help me, Jesus. And I said, here's the greatest thing about God. It's not even a turning around that you need to do. We know that that's repenting, right? There is a truth, 180-degree turn, go back to God. That's good. And that's the heart condition. But what the greatest thing about God is the moment that you even raised your hand. The moment, get this, the moment that you just lean back into Him. The moment that you just turn your mind and your heart and you just lean. He's like, whoo. That's my God. That's my God. He's an adoring God. He's a powerful God. He's a warrior God. But He is a loving God. And He's got a plan for you. He's got a life for you to finish living. You've come too far to go back now. Boy, he's got good stuff for you. I'm getting this overwhelming sense. God, oh, Father, thank you, Lord. I'm getting almost like a prophetic heart for you this morning. He's just saying, oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Matter of fact, I feel like I'm supposed to do this. Anybody else that didn't raise their hands and say, yeah, that's me. I didn't raise my hand, but you're right. That's me. Anybody? Okay. So I'm gonna pray the prayer of salvation. The Bible says, for those of you three that raise your hands, the Bible says, just look at me real quick, brother. The Bible says that if you say with your mouth and you believe in your heart and you make the decision, then He will rush in to rescue you, to place that rope around you and to gather you home and bring you into His round pen. And if you were to die today, the Word says that you would be with Him for eternity. You hear me? You're His. And the words matter, sure. But really, it's more of the heart condition. And if you make a change and you do what you know to do, just turn to Him, He'll create a pathway. He'll show you what. And then what I would suggest to you is get into your local church. If you don't live here, then find your local church. If you live here, Shiloh is a great place. But get in and start allowing Him just to come in and teach you and grow you and mold you and shape you. And you'll be shocked at where you will be at a year from now when I get back here. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this prayer. Everybody say this prayer. And if you're one of the ones that say, you know, I'm tired of being wild, I'm tired of running, this prayer works the same because it's still a heart condition. Lord, I set my heart right back in your lap. Amen. Say this prayer with me. Lord God, I love you. And I believe in you. And I believe in what Johnny is saying. I believe that it's true. I believe that you love me. I believe that you love me so much that you sent your Son, your innocent Son, and sacrificed Him. His innocent blood was shed for me. For me. I know I don't deserve it. I know I didn't do anything to deserve it. But somehow, some way, you still love me enough to give me that gift. I say with my mouth and believe in my heart that I receive that gift this morning. I say with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I believe with my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. And I accept that amazing gift. I say with my mouth and believe in my heart that I now am a child of God. And I am born again in you. And I will live for you with everything in me, the best that I can for you for the rest of my life. I'm yours, Lord, and you're mine. And I will never, ever, ever be the same. I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and my Savior. In the name above every other name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on! You're a good, good father.